this time, let's remember those that we mentioned in prayer and just ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship together this morning. We're so thankful for many blessings. Blessings of safety when things have been so difficult. And just blessings of the help that we enjoy. And we want to especially lift up the folks in Ukraine and even the folks in Russia that are struggling because they're being led by an evil man. We just ask for you to work and you to bring deliverance and peace. We pray for those who lifted up specific requests regarding sickness. And we ask for your touch on them. We thank you, Lord, that you invited us to come to you, that we don't have to go through any priest or anyone else, for you are our mediator. You taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of the Lord. Amen.
table, broken and shared, a living sign. Here in this world, dying and living, were each other's bread and wine. It is here at this table we receive what we need, God's mercy and God's peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you all glory, praise, and honor. Thank you, Lord, for this bread and wine, the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
Several examples where Jesus served his disciples, where he washed their feet, where he would serve them even to the point of giving his life on the cross. And that's what we remember and we celebrate. Jesus said, as often as you partake of this bread, do this to remember the sacrifice of my body. Let us partake. In like manner, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance. Thanks be to Christ,
for the bread of life.
At this time, we'll continue our worship in the giving of tithes and offerings. And we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you that there are so many things that we take for granted, but we need to stop and thank you because they are gifts from you. There are people today having to leave their homes, having to leave their livelihoods, and how frightening that would be. We ask special blessings upon them, that you would give comfort, peace, and help to them. And use this church, Lord, that we can be a help extended to others as well. So take these offerings for your glory and your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
30. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone, I send, accepts me. And whoever accepts me, accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to whom which them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping it in the dish, then he gave it to Judas. Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. This is the reading of the Lord. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
The other day, I was listening to K-Love. You know, when you get in your car and you turn on the radio and there's the radio, and they were talking about the new Batman movie that was coming out on March the 4th. And they said that the movie theaters are trying something different with Batman. They're going to charge more for the people who come see it on the opening day. So they ask the audience, the radio listeners, to call in and tell them, would it be worth the extra money to see a movie on the first day? Well, there were different answers. One answer was, if it was an opportunity for me to be with all of my family, and that we were going to do this together, and there wasn't another day to do it, that would put value to it. And so that seemed like a good answer. But then most of them were like me, what? Pay extra just to go see it on one day? I mean, I'll go see it later if I want to see a movie. Why pay that extra? You know, it really poses the question of value. What is something worth to us? What is an activity worth to us? And we're faced with something this morning when we look at a betrayer who had to ask the question or had to say what it was worth to betray Jesus. How much was it worth? Now, just to get a little background here, you know, there's some interesting things when you read here. If you go back to the passage that we looked at last week, it says that when supper being ended, actually, in the Greek, it says during supper. So it says the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. Then it goes on talking about Jesus washing feet. Then we come back to where he's talking about Judas, and then we see them eating again. So I don't know if John is just kind of hopscotching a little bit and he's reflecting on different components of this. But here's what he says to his disciples when he's talking about them being clean. He says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I've chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now that verse was actually a verse that was a reference to Jesus' ancestor, David. And David had a friend who betrayed him. And it uses those same exact words. And so Jesus is relating that to him, that he has a friend who betrayed him. But there's something interesting here. Jesus chose all the disciples. John chapter 6 says, I chose all of you, and one of you is a devil. Now, it's like Jesus knew this from the beginning. And it's like, well, if he knew Judas was going to be a traitor, why didn't he say, okay, no, we're not going to have you hanging around with us? Well, I'm not going to get into all the questions of predestination, and certainly enough just to say that he had foreknowledge of what was going to happen, and he wasn't going to change anything. And you might remember in one of the passages where the soldiers came to get Jesus, Peter chopped off the ear of one of them, and Jesus told Peter, am I not going to go through with this? I mean, this is what's got to happen. I've got to drink of this cup. And so, you know, he picked a disciple that he knew would be a traitor. Now, some things about Judas. His name wasn't a bad name. The name Judas means praise. Not a bad name. But how many of you know anyone named Judas? We don't know anyone named Judas. Now there's some derivatives of it. You know, we've got names like Judah. We've got names like Judy, Judith, Jude. Those are some names. And there were other Judases in the Bible because there was another disciple named Judas, and it would say Judas, not Iscariot, who was a traitor. You know, so nobody names their kids Judas. You know, I heard a story about a couple that was in their bedroom, and a robber broke in. And he come into the bedroom, and they're shocked, and they see the robber. And he says, well, now that you've seen me, I'm going to have to shoot you. And he said, but I like to know the names of the people I shoot. So he points the gun at the lady, and he says, what's your name? She says, my name is Elizabeth. He says, well, I can't shoot you. That's my mom's name. I cannot shoot you. So he points the gun at the guy. He says, what's your name? He says, my name is Joe, but all my good friends call me Elizabeth. See, Joe had the same problem that Judas has. At one time, the name Judas was the name to have, but not anymore. So a different name people would pick, because Judas kind of, because of his treachery, it kind of became one of those names like you don't even hear of a dog named Judas. So then we come to some interesting things here as we read in this passage. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit to testify and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now, nobody was thinking, I think it might be Judas. Nobody was thinking that. Now, I don't know why. Maybe they thought that he wasn't a bad guy. You know, Judas was the one who said, when Mary was washing Jesus' feet or anointing his feet with the expensive perfume, he's the one who said, why was this not sold for 300 denarii so that we could help the poor? Well, that sounded reasonable. But John adds, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor. He said it because he was a thief. Now, this is what they knew later, is that he was a thief. But, you know, at the time, it might have sounded like, man, this is the kind of guy we want to have on our staff. He's going to just keep everybody accountable here. Things are going to be used in the right way. Wrong. He was dipping into the funds himself. So the disciples were perplexed. Now, in Mark's gospel, it talks about when Jesus said this, they're all like, Lord, is it I? They're not saying, Lord, is it him? Lord, is it I? Now think about that a minute. I think each one of them knew in their heart in some way, maybe they were on the verge, or maybe they had done something to betray Jesus. Now, lest we be too hard on Judas, I'm not saying that we can make a whole lot of judgment there, but I kind of like what the other disciples said, Lord, is it I? That maybe we need to be looking at ourselves and our relationship with Jesus and our times of betrayal or denial. And just be aware that we can do that, and we probably have in some way. Now, when he had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Now, those are some interesting words. And it sounds weird to us. Huh? What does that mean? So how many of you got the email picture I sent you yesterday? Did anybody see it? Okay. So that is a triclinium. That is the kind of table that they would be sitting on. It's almost like a couch, or a long couch, where you would have one person, you know, kind of leaning on their side, taking their bread, dipping it, and they're leaning toward another one. So John evidently was leaning toward Jesus. Jesus was right there behind him. Jesus able to reach for bread himself, so he couldn't have been too close. But when Peter said, ask Jesus who it is, he can just pop his head back there, and who is it? And here's something that I think is interesting about that when we picture this. That if Judas is able to reach and hand the bread, then Judas had to be to Jesus' left, if they're leaning this way. And so John leans back, Jesus leaning back. Judas knew Jesus handed him the bread. Jesus knew he handed him the bread. And Jesus says what you have to do quickly. Now it says, having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. So at one time we see Satan had prompted him. Satan was already working on him. And now it says Satan had entered him. Now, this raises the question, well, did Judas have any choice in what he was about to do? And he certainly did. And even if he had betrayed Jesus, he certainly could have repented, just like anyone else. How does Satan enter our hearts? It's our choice. We let Satan enter our hearts. We get filled with bitterness. Now the question is, there's a lot of questions that when I sit down to work on a message, I try to think of questions that folks would ask. And, you know, one question I get is, why was he so bitter? Well, a lot of the Jews wanted a Messiah who was going to be a king who would reign. And that is probably what Judas wanted as well. And he didn't like the way this was going. And maybe he was even upset when Jesus confronted him and said, leave Mary alone. What she is doing is a good thing. She's preparing for my burial. And he's bitter, and he's thinking, what difference is it going to make? He's going to give his life. He's going to die. I might as well make a little money off of it. That's kind of his modus operandi, you know, that whatever he could do, make a little money off of Jesus. And so he's bitter. He's greedy. And you know what's interesting is some people would try to make Judas out as being a good guy or a victim. How many of you remember Jesus Christ Superstar? You know, it was the first thing to try to make Judas says, well, he couldn't help it. God made him do that. No, that wasn't the case. And then you have, there was a book, The Passover Plot, that tried to depict Judas as being a good guy. But Judas wasn't a good guy. He was filled with evil. He was filled with bitterness. Now when Judas left, Jesus said to him, what you do quickly. No one at the table knew for what reason he said this. Some just thought, oh, Judas is getting up to go buy food, to go take care of the poor. After all, he really cared about the poor. So they thought at the time. Having received the piece of bread, he went out at night. Now, here's another thing, a question that would come up. Why was Judas even needed to do that? Do you ever wonder about that? So Judas is going to lead the officials to Jesus. Do you ever wonder why would Judas need to do that? Why would they even think Judas needed to do that? Well, we know what he looks like. We can find him. There's a couple things. This was at night. They wanted it to be quiet. They wanted it to be without a lot of excitement where there would be those who would protest that they were taking Jesus. And it may be that some of the arresting officials may not have known exactly which one would be Jesus. And they wanted to make sure that there wasn't one posing as Jesus and they take the wrong one. So Judas goes in and gives him a kiss, gives him the greeting of a friend. And they know that he is the one. Now there's three things I want to kind of wrap up with. Judas was among the disciples. He walked with Jesus. He saw all the miracles that Jesus did. He saw just a lot of amazing things. He walked with Jesus. But Judas was against Jesus. Judas wasn't about the lost being saved. Judas wasn't about the poor being helped. Judas was about his ego. He was about his desires. He was about his status. But then a third thing that's very interesting is Judas was anticipated to betray Jesus. You know, you can look at some of these Old Testament scriptures and you see some really interesting connections between David and Jesus. And one of the most interesting that I find is Zechariah chapter 11, 12, and 13. And when you just see so many specifics where, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my hire, if not, forbear. So they weighed for my hire 30 pieces of silver. And God said unto me, cast it into the potter, the goodly price that I was prized at by them. And I took 30 pieces of silver, and I cast them out to the potter in the house of God. Now, there's just some specifics there. You know, first of all, the amount is 30. The kind of coin it was silver, not gold. And that it would be cast unto the potter. And as we'll get to later, when Jesus went, when Judas went and hanged himself, this was after he had cast the money down in the temple. He felt remorse, Matthew tells us. He just cast the pieces of silver down and he went out and hanged himself. So many specifics in the prophecy that's talking about what would happen that's pointing to Judas. And I think the question that we all need to ponder this morning is just, which way are we leaning? You see, I told you about John, who was leaning toward Jesus. But then you got Judas, who was leaning away from Jesus. And my question this morning, are you leaning toward Jesus? Or are you leaning away from Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to reflect and look at these scriptures and to focus on our need to lean toward you. Oh, there have been times that we've leaned away from you. There have been times that we were probably just on the same path of being caught up in ourselves, just as Judas. But you invite all to repentance. And I believe you would have even invited Judas to repent. But remorse is different than repentance. Repentance is acknowledging our sin and our need of a Savior and changing our direction. So Lord, I pray if that is what's on the heart of anyone here, that today would be the day that they would step forward and that they would lean in toward you. I pray in Jesus' name. Our hymn of invitation, number 550. This morning to lift our praises and to worship you in Jesus' name.